Thank you for tuning in to IGH260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 4 of week number 12, studying Matthew chapter 12. As we get started, these reminders. You can freely access everything that we offer by clicking the free link at internationalgospelhour.com. To receive links for all of our free materials, just send an email to free@ighradio.com. You can also text the word IGHFREE, that's IGHFREE, all one word, text that to 55222. Are you interested in learning more about God's Word? Here are two great ways to not only learn more about God's Word, but to learn to love God more as well. First, enroll in our free, self-paced online Bible study program. To get started, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org, or you can click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. Second, if you prefer to study by mail, call us toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988 to receive our free 30-lesson Bible study series. You can also request this series by using the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Let's get back into our study of Matthew 12. Here's what we noted at the very end of our last program. The Pharisees' mindset that Jesus responded to, the one that we find in both Matthew 12 and Matthew 15, was a mindset that, over the course of centuries, made the oral tradition of the elders equal to the written commandment of God. Jesus, though, went a step further in explaining their error. Jesus not only said that the Pharisees transgress the command of God because of your tradition, 15:3 of Matthew, he said that they made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. That's an incredible statement. They made the commandment of God of no effect? The words no effect appear in multiple translations as follows. You invalidated the word of God. You made void the word of God. You nullified the word of God. You have made the word of God without effect or no effect. You disregard God's command. You set aside the command of God. You cancel the word of God. You have abrogated God's word. You have done away with God's law. And you have made God's law null and void. The translators clearly understood what Jesus taught here. The Pharisees generally, and in the specific instances cited in Matthew chapter 15, one of which was the issue of religious ritual washing of hands, they elevated their tradition above God's Word. That means, of course, that they lowered what they thought about God's Word, thus depriving it of the legitimate authority that it was supposed to have in their understanding and in their lives. Every encounter that Jesus had with the Pharisees centered on some principle and or practice that they enjoined that went beyond anything that God ever expected, or that in some way failed to grasp, failed to respect, and failed to submit to God's truth and way of life. Here, in Matthew chapter 12, it was a misunderstanding about the work that could and could not be done on the Sabbath day. As Matthew 12 continues, we will see them, the Pharisees, challenging Jesus for healing a fellow human being on the Sabbath day. In Matthew 15, the passage that we just alluded to, it was something as seemingly innocuous as to how and why you washed your hands before a meal. But later, in that same context, again, Matthew 15, about whether or not they were excused, in view of their traditions, from honoring their parents as God intended. We have no desire to misrepresent what the Pharisees believed and what they practiced. As we have noted before, they might have, at one time, had every intention to do only what God wanted them to do and nothing more. But over time, their traditions not only equaled God's commandments, they surpassed them, thus making, as Jesus said, God's commandments of no effect, Matthew 15:6. We return to the opening context of Matthew 12. This, again, was the mindset that Jesus was combating in this passage, and one that Jesus would continually face as his ministry went forward. But enough of the Pharisees' mindset. What was the solution that Jesus proposed? Jesus asked a question. Though the question involved more than what we note here, it started with these simple words, "Have you not read?" Those words, or something very close to them, appear several times in Matthew's Gospel, and every time that they appear, the context in which they do so always centered on some controversial issue. In this context, the issue was Sabbath day restrictions. Jesus not only asked the question in Matthew 12:3, Jesus asked it a second time, again, to the Pharisees, just two verses later, Matthew 12:5. Here's a quick overview of the text and the topics where that question, "Have you not read?" was asked in Matthew's Gospel. We see first, this instance, Matthew 12:3. This, of course, appears in our current study where Jesus asked the question, "Have you not read?" in light of Sabbath day restrictions. Jesus asked the same question with a slight variation, "Have you not read in the law?" in Matthew 12:5. That passage, obviously still within this immediate context, also dealt with Sabbath day restrictions and allowances. In that verse, Jesus mentioned what the Old Testament priests were legitimately allowed to do on the Sabbath day. The next occurrence, "Have you not read?" Matthew 19:4. Seven chapters later, when Jesus was challenged by the Pharisees about the law's teaching concerning divorce, Jesus asked the same question, "Have you not read?" Jesus said that in response to the Pharisees' question in the preceding verse. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, and saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" Matthew 19:3. In Matthew 21:16, another instance of, "Have you never read?" Two chapters later, Jesus asked a similar question in connection with his deity. The blind and lame came to Jesus in the temple, and Jesus healed them. Matthew 21:14. The chief priests and the scribes saw what Jesus did and heard them crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They asked Jesus if he heard what the people were saying. That's what prompted Jesus to ask, "Have you never read?" at the same time that he cited Psalm chapter 8, verse 3. Jesus' assumption? His hearers, if not accepting its meaning and its application in this setting, were at least familiar with that psalm. In Matthew 21:42, we see another example of the question, "Have you never read?" Later, in the same chapter that we just discussed, Matthew 21, Jesus asked yet another question about his identity. He just concluded the parable about the landowner who leased his vineyard and then traveled to a far country. When the time for harvest arrived, he sent his servants to collect the fruit. Those who leased his vineyard repeatedly beat, killed, and stoned every servant that the landowner sent. This continued until finally the landowner sent his son, and, true to form, the vine dressers killed him, reasoning, somehow, that they could collect the son's inheritance. What, Jesus asked his audience, still apparently the chief priest and the elders of the people, from Matthew 21:23. What, Jesus asked, should the owner do to these wicked vine dressers? The chief priests and the elders responded by saying, "He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons." It's at this point that Jesus asked the question, "Have you never read?" He asked that question to introduce a prophetic passage, one that referred to Jesus as the stone which the builders rejected. After Jesus cited that text, He told his hearers that the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. In our next example, Matthew 22:31, have you not read what was spoken by God? One chapter further into Matthew, and we see Jesus ask the question for the sixth time. After the Pharisees and the Herodians challenged Jesus about whether or not it was lawful to pay taxes to Caesar, Matthew 22:17, the Sadducees, who rejected the resurrection, entered the fray. Their seven-time married, seven-times widowed, whose wife shall she be example, brought a stern rebuke from Jesus. And in the middle of that rebuke, he asked the question. Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.'" And then finally, in Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus repeatedly warned about the fall of the city of Jerusalem, we read this similar phrasing. "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." Matthew 24:15. So, why did Jesus ask this question so many times in Matthew? And, more importantly, why did he ask the question twice in this context, Matthew 12:1-5? Jesus asked that question repeatedly with the expectation that those who heard the question had not only read the appropriate text in the Old Testament, but that they also understood those texts and, just as important, that they were living consistently with them. Repeating for emphasis, Jesus did not just ask, "Have you not read?" to find out whether or not the Pharisees read the text that Jesus cited, but to point out that if they had read them, if they had understood and followed the principles and the practices taught in those passages, then they would not have challenged the disciples and Jesus in the first place. In our next program, we will take up at this point and continue our study of God's Word. A reminder as we conclude, to receive our free 30-lesson Bible study series by mail, just call 1-855-IGH-6988. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.